off the inbound. Holiday. Giannis Holiday inside. Great ball rotation. Middleton. Giannis downhill. Slams it home! And the Bucks lead by three.
A happy, joyful Giannis.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Mark Jones and Doris Burke on the call yesterday on ESPN or ABC, kind of like, you know,
Disney.
Under the same umbrella. Disney, the Mickey Mouse sort of deal there. As Milwaukee beats the Clippers 105-100. So it was a happy Giannis on Sunday. And it was a happy Ryan McDonough last week, where Ryan once again joined the show. Gave us a pick. We disagreed with it.
His Brooklyn Nets.
And he was right, and we were wrong with the Brooklyn Nets against the Sacramento Kings. Now, Ryan, I think even you would have to admit that you did not expect to win that bet by virtue of a Bruce Brown supernova performance in the fourth quarter. Not Kyrie, not James Harden, but Bruce Brown leading you to a victory in that game. Ryan, of course, host of Radio.com's NBA show, former NBA general manager, at McDNBA on Twitter. Ryan, you have to admit, maybe you got a little lucky with that last winner.
There's no luck involved, gentlemen. As you know, at least when I win, it's all skill. However, was that the game last week? I thought I remember being on the other side of a game with the Pelicans recently and you guys, but that may have been 2 weeks ago. Honestly, I'm having a hard time remembering because I feel like every time, you know, I'm on, you guys go the other way and I win and you two lose.
I know, it's incredible, right? Nick went like 13-2 on Wednesday. Then we just roll into, I think Thursday we had you on last week and you're on the Nets and just... I know, but when we're in like an 0-for-20 slump, we're gonna hold some vendettas. We're gonna remember these moments, McD, when you're going against us on some of these games. But hey, shout out to you for people that have been listening. You've been winning a lot of bets, winning a lot of money. Let's unpack a couple of the results from yesterday. We played the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, Giannis. Clip coming out of break there, and you know, Nick called it, I think, like a season defining win. I mean, it felt like an important game with both teams, and we can talk about each team. But let's start with the Bucks. Drew Holiday plays about 20 minutes. They're obviously gonna get him back in a fuller capacity, but a big win over a really good team. I mean, did this answer any questions for you about Milwaukee going forward?
Milwaukee's a good team, guys. I'm not quite as high on them as some as you two know. I still have questions about how they'll look in the playoffs, and more than anything, I have a hard time thinking of a team who's won at a high level, talking about a championship level, whose best player is not a great perimeter shooter and can't make shots over the top of the defense. So for all Giannis's physical gifts, and he was outstanding yesterday against a very good Clippers team, I'm interested to see how it looks in the playoffs. And as you guys know, I like Brooklyn better than Milwaukee coming out of the East. But yesterday was certainly a big win. It was good to see Holiday back in the lineup. He missed quite some time due to the COVID protocols. And, I think the Bucks, after a shaky start a week or so ago or a shaky stretch a week or so ago, they played a lot better recently, and they're slowly creeping up the Eastern Conference standings.
Conversely, McD, you know, the team that Milwaukee beat yesterday is the LA Clippers. And look, no one's denying the fact that the Clippers are a top team in the Western Conference and certainly a quote unquote contender for an NBA championship. But something I feel like always stops, and I'll speak for Ken here, the two of us, from thinking this team could get it done when it matters most. I mean, it's like the excuses that roll out of them after these losses. Kawhi, like, we're not there yet. Paul George, we need to play faster. I feel like Doc Rivers is probably watching this, lighting up a cigar somewhere. What do you make of the LA Clippers right now, McD, as we head towards the All-Star break?
Yeah, I think Doc Rivers is in Philadelphia now, Nick. I think he got a new job and is still in the industry, you know, coaching the 76ers. I think as far as, the Clippers, the execution or lack thereof down the stretch really was troubling. That was one of their issues last year, as you know. So they made the change, a somewhat controversial coaching change, with the aforementioned Doc Rivers going out and then Ty Lue getting promoted.
That was the joke, McD, is that he's watching from afar lighting the cigar. Of course, Doc is in Philadelphia.
and I was just messing with you, Nick, as I tend to do. It's one of my favorite hobbies. When I join you two on You Better You Bet. As far as the Clippers last night or yesterday afternoon, their lack of execution down the stretch is really concerning. I think this team has a bad habit over the last couple of years of when things get tough, they isolate a little bit too much. The ball doesn't move. The players don't move. It gets a little bit stagnant. And I think you saw some of that again. Look at some of the shots that they took versus the ones they allowed. They allowed a dunk from Giannis coming down the lane. They had a Kawhi Leonard contested 27-footer. So I think that's something that Ty Lue and the entire team still need to work on. in order to win a championship at a high level, you need to be able to execute under pressure and down the stretch. And unfortunately for these teams, guys, both of them, but the Clippers in particular, I think we'll believe it when we see it in the playoffs. But last night or yesterday in the regular season, it certainly wasn't a good sign that they were not able to execute properly down the stretch.
Ryan, if that Bucks-Clippers game was kind of like, you know, the biggest game story to talk about out of the last couple of days, I think the biggest news story we have just from an NBA standpoint, and I don't want to put you on the spot here to get an opinion because this happened recently, but the Lloyd Pierce news in Atlanta, I think, is something that we definitely need to touch on. Obviously, gets fired as head coach. A lot of people that we've had on the show before, NBA guests, were surprised by that. Nate McMillan has agreed in the last few minutes to become the interim head coach. He was on the staff. So, you know, just kind of your thoughts on Lloyd Pierce losing his job as coach of a team that had a lot of injuries, that was underperforming, but had kind of some reasons for doing so, and Nate McMillan taking over as coach of the Hawks.
Yeah, Lloyd Pierce is a talented young coach, guys. In fact, he's on USA Basketball staff. He'll be an assistant with Greg Popovich and those guys heading to Tokyo for the postponed Olympics in 2021. But this isn't a complete surprise to me. I'd heard some rumblings this year, especially over the last couple of weeks, that Pierce's job was potentially in jeopardy. They spent a lot of money this offseason. I think the expectations, if not the mandate from ownership, was get into the playoffs. And, they got off to a decent start, but they've had a lot go wrong, especially with the injuries. DeAndre Hunter, who was playing very well, I thought he took a big leap this year in year two. He's missed a significant period of time. Danilo Gallinari has been injured, as he tends to be. Chris Dunn has not played a game yet, one of their bigger free agent signings, and Rajon Rondo has been injured as well. So, and then Bogdan Bogdanovic, another free agent signing, I missed a significant amount of time. So, it's a tough business. This was somewhat unfair to Lloyd Pierce and how it went down, but they do have a very experienced assistant on staff in Nate McMillan, and I like the way the team looked, guys. Actually, this is interesting from a coaching or from a front office perspective. When you combine that with ownership, the Atlanta Hawks had a chance to see Nate McMillan as the head coach of this team because Lloyd Pierce recently was away from the team. His wife's having a baby. So I don't know if that helped them make the decision, but I watched a couple of those games and I liked the way the Atlanta Hawks looked when Nate McMillan was the head coach.
You bet. BetQL Audio Network on a Monday. Still have Ken Barkley's overnight projections to come. Still have J.J. Watt discussion as he signs with the Arizona Cardinals. But spending more time here talking association with Ryan McDonough, former NBA GM, the host of Radio.com's NBA show. Ryan, how good, if at all, are the New York Knicks?
Well, they're obviously one of the surprise teams this year, Nick. They played very well lately. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And the fact that they have a winning record and are fourth in the Eastern Conference was not something I anticipated prior to the year. And I think the main reason for that, this shouldn't be a complete shock with the Tom Thibodeau coach team, is defense, guys. Somehow the New York Knicks, despite the fact that they're playing young players and RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley, Mitchell Robinson, who is currently injured, not in the lineup, despite the fact that they have a relatively young team, they're second in the league in defensive rating, behind only the LA Lakers and ahead of the Utah Jazz, who have been dominant, as you know. So that's a credit to Thibodeau, who's on the short list of Coach of the Year candidates at this point. I'm not sure it's sustainable. I mean, again, they defended at a super high level. They're a little bit deficient offensively. They still need some help, especially in the backcourt with some playmaking and shooting. But for the first time in a long time, guys, there's real hope in New York. This team looks like they're headed in the right direction, and they have a foundation, a core they can build around on the court with RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, and their other young talent, but also on the sideline with Tom Thibodeau.
Ryan, obviously this is the last week before the All-Star break. And I think for sports bettors, especially, one thing we're going to try to figure out is, all right, the NBA players get all this time off. I know it got shortened by a day, but I think it's like 6 days off or whatever. So a significant period of time in what's been a compressed season. When they come back from break, who's going to look different? Who's going to kind of put together a run and look, you know, a lot better than we've seen? What team maybe has been overachieving that's going to struggle once we get out of the All-Star break? Give us maybe a team or two. We can be on the positive end of this if you want. Teams that have struggled where you think the All-Star break and some time off, maybe get some injured guys back, will do those teams a lot of good.
Yeah, I think this team's played pretty well, but, the Washington Wizards lately, guys, that they blew a real tough game last night at Boston. They had that game. The Celtics executed very well down the stretch. The Wizards did not. I'm sure Bradley Beal would love the play back where he got the ball under his own basket and slipped out of bounds and gave the Celtics the ball back. And, so Boston ended up winning a game that Washington should have won. But despite that, guys, I think The Wizards are still 7-2 in their last nine games. Russell Westbrook has played better. He hasn't played great, but he's certainly been better since he returned from injury a few weeks ago. Bradley Beal is a dominant offensive player. He's leading the league in scoring by a relatively wide margin. So I like Washington if they're able to get relatively healthy and get some more rest for Westbrook. Their young players and Rui Hachimura and then Danny Avdija, the rookie out of Israel this year, they'll be more experienced. So I look at them in the Eastern Conference. And then in the Western Conference, guys, a team I really have my eye on, they've done a nice job hanging around, is the Memphis Grizzlies. They're currently at 500 through 30 games. Keep in mind, their second best player, Jaren Jackson Jr., has not played a game. It seems like he's getting closer. Justice Winslow really struggled when he returned to the lineup a week or so ago. He was terrific against Houston last night. So Memphis has done enough. They're currently in 10th in the Western Conference. So keep an eye on the Grizzlies, led by Ja Morant, to potentially surge over the second half of the season.
Yeah, it never hurts when you win by 50, basically, over the Houston Rockets on a Sunday like the Memphis Grizzlies did. Brian, Sacramento Kings, obviously another brutal loss for them. Hum diddly dee on Sunday night against the Charlotte Hornets. Like, can Sacramento turn it around here under Luke Walton? And if so, how? Because right now, this team has the look and feel, to me at least, dead team walking with the current coach in charge. Never want anyone to lose their job, but it kind of seems like that's where we're careening towards with Luke Walton.
Yeah, I love that line, Nick. If I'm back with a team as an executive at some point and they're going to ask what went wrong, I'm just going to say hum diddly dee and then leave it at that. That'll be the end of the press conference. No, Sacramento last night, that was a disaster. I mean, I think they were, up 8 with the ball, shooting 2 free throws and getting the ball back with a minute or so to go, and they lost, which seems impossible until you go back and watch the film. But yeah, as we just discussed, with Lloyd Pierce and prior to that, a week or so ago with Ryan Saunders, the coaching firing carousel has started. Now, 2 of the 30 teams have already changed coaches, and we're really not at the midway point yet, or just about at the midway point of the season here. So, Sacramento needs to play better. They're 1-9 in their last 10 games. And that's something that owners and front offices look at, guys. It's not just, are we winning or losing, but how are we winning, or in this case, how are we losing? And I think that did hurt Ryan Saunders. I know it hurt Ryan Saunders in Minnesota, some of the lack of late game execution, some of the late game meltdowns. And I think now rightfully so, there's going to be a lot of scrutiny on Luke Walton and the Kings for how they, not only how they play, but how they execute down the stretch. A month or so ago, guys, they were playing pretty well, right around 500. And the last month, in the month of February, was pretty tough if you're a Sacramento Kings fan.
Brian, we have a couple minutes left with you. I just want to get your thoughts on one more team. I know a team that you're kind of intimately familiar with and a player who you're intimately familiar with because we keep putting up a picture of you. I think it's your headshot from Twitter that we put up every time that we have you on when you're talking, and that's the Phoenix Suns and Devin Booker. Obviously, got into the All-Star game, maybe not how he wanted to get in, but got in as an injury replacement, has been playing extremely well recently. They kind of, beat Minnesota pretty badly the other night. I feel like the question with them, we kind of know they're going to make the playoffs now, that they're going to be in the mix, 3, 4, 5, 6 seed. When we get to a playoff series and they're playing another elite team in the Western Conference, do you feel like Booker can be, the best player on a team that maybe goes to the finals or contends for an NBA title with Phoenix this year?
Well, I'm biased with that one, guys. As we drafted Devin Booker. We signed him to the contract extension shortly before I get fired in 2018. So I think, he's going to be a superstar in this league. And I was happy to see that, ironically enough, for the second year in a row, he was named an injury replacement in the All-Star game by Adam Silver. Last year, it was Damian Lillard that he replaced. In fact, you guys remember Dame kind of stumped for him and pushed for Booker to make the All-Star team and be his replacement, and Adam Silver agreed. And now this year, with Anthony Davis being injured, not a lineup, Booker makes a second consecutive All-Star team as an injury replacement. But he's been terrific, guys. He scored extremely well and efficiently, including last night against Minnesota. I watched that entire game, and he was unguardable. So, yeah, I do think he can do it in the playoffs at a high level. I think, the matchup will be key. They're potentially looking at, the LA Clippers or a team like that in the first round where, it's obviously harder to do if you have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George on the other side guarding you. But I think he's good enough to do that, guys, at some point in his career. I don't know if it's quite yet. Hopefully it is. But I do think he can be the best player on a team that wins a championship. But what I've really liked about the Suns is their depth this year. Obviously, they made the big trade for Chris Paul. They brought in Jay Crowder, but the development of two guys we drafted, when I was there, DeAndre Ayton and then Mikal Bridges in particular. I think really, you know, this team's done a nice job with their talent and depth, and they're in the top 10 offensively and defensively, which I think makes them a legitimate threat in the Western Conference playoffs.
McDee, 15 seconds to go. Your best bet for tonight in the NBA is what?
My best bet for tonight in the NBA is the Chicago Bulls. I believe they're at home. They're getting 4.5, and the you know, the Denver Nuggets have some injuries, but Chicago's played well lately. And if anybody says anything counter to that, Nick, all I'll say is I'm diddly D.
Right. Listen, Ryan McDonough going head to head with BetQL. Listen, you take it up with the bosses, man. I don't care. We'll see what happens tonight. You're going up against the Golden Goose. That's our guy, Ryan McDonough. McD, appreciate you. Enjoy the games tonight. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
The great Ryan McDonough with us here on You Better, You Bet. Okay, take a quick break here. We'll talk J.J. Watt at the end of this hour, going to the Arizona Cardinals. But Ken Barkley's overnight projections for college hoops Monday into Tuesday coming up next.